Hey everyone, this is Chris Manning, the host of Locked On Cavs, here for your Thursday, February 15th episode. Hope everyone had a great Valentine's Day or however you decided to celebrate or not celebrate. Today, Facebook Live mailbag. You can, as always, submit questions for future mailbags to lockedoncavs@gmail.com. Got a lot of great questions about buyout market, about the draft. Talked about the Woj story that indicated the Cavs almost basically thought they were getting DeAndre Jordan and what I think that means and the shenanigans the Kings pulled. Back tomorrow, Spencer Davies from Basketball Insiders and Fox Sports will be on talking about what we should look for going into the All-Star break and coming out of it next week when the Cavs will return. I'll be back on Monday. Episodes all next week. And if you're a Browns fan, by the way, go listen to Locked On Browns. It is a great Browns podcast hosted by Jeff Floyd, and it'll be something good to listen to if you need a little break from basketball, which I hope you're not. I hope you listen to this pod and take your break elsewhere. But Thursday, February 15th, mailbag. Hope you guys enjoy. Talk to you soon.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Facebook? I am Chris Manning, the site manager over at FearTheSword.com, here talking about the Cavs' new acquisitions, the trade deadline in a whole as we look at it a week away, All-Star weekend, the buyout market, whatever you guys want to chat about. I am here to answer your questions, get your feedback on what's going on with the Cavs, and hear from you, the people that like our Facebook page in the future. Like the page, get notifications that we're going to do these live chats, we'll do some halftime shows, do these live chats, do Q&As, do mailbags on Locked On Cavaliers, the Monday through Friday podcast we have on the site. If you want to find that podcast, listen to this back in audio form. It'll be up in the morning. All you got to do is subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts, and you'll have the Locked On Cavaliers podcast hosted by yours truly in your feed every day. So if you guys have questions, drop them in here. I will answer whatever questions you have about the Cavs. We, as always, take them ahead of time. You can tweet them to @FearTheSword, to @LockedOnCavs, or send them to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. I'll take a couple from Twitter first. First one comes from James Watson. Which new Cavs do you think can have the most significant impact if they play Golden State in the finals again? So I think out of just a recap, if you're just hearing this for the first time, the new players are Larry Nance, Rodney Hood, George Hill, and Jordan Clarkson. I think of the new guys that they got, I think Larry Nance has a chance to be that guy. But if you're looking at the safest bet to be the biggest impact, I think it's George Hill. If you just look at how long his arms are in terms of defending the pick and roll, his ability to hit open threes, his veteran mentality, that presence he has, the experience going long into the playoffs in Indiana and in helping Utah get there last year before he got hurt, I think he is someone that really will help this team. He's the opposite of Isaiah in so many ways. I think he's really, really going to help this team. And if I was going to put them in order, I would, in terms of the likelihood of them tilting a series against Golden State or making enough of a difference where it's a closer series than Desmond, I think it'd be Hill. Then Nance, then Hood, with Hood maybe being number two because of his scoring potential, and Clarkson. I think Clarkson's just it's not that he can't do anything, but I think his Hood's offensive potential is a bit higher. His defensive potential is a bit better as well in terms of actually being able to defend a Klay Thompson or someone like that. None of these guys, I think, they're not Kyrie. And I think if you're going to critique the Cavs and their roster right now, I think you could certainly say that they need another perimeter scorer. They need another guy that could get a bunch of buckets and could get from the outside. It's not going to be necessarily when they have it at a high level. But I think Hill, with his ability to run the pick and roll, his defense to maybe trap Curry, to make life harder for Curry, that could be really, really important. And he's just a smart player who hits open threes. That is so valuable against LeBron, and you would think that he'll only get better playing with LeBron. First question we have in here comes from Drops Rain. What's the latest Cavs buyout? So right now there is nothing on the buyout market. It's going to be dead for a little bit. You have some time. We don't know exactly who going to be available yet. It's a little bit early to know. You have some guys already being available. Greg Monroe, Joe Johnson, Brendan Wright have all made their decisions. But it doesn't have to happen right away. This could take some time. There is a deadline for them to be able to sign for the playoffs, and it depends on when guys ask for them, how things break down. It's unclear. And now, I think it was interesting that Joe Johnson, and there's a little bit of linkage to Monroe for the Cavs. There was a little bit of nothing with Joe Johnson, someone the Cavs pursued before he went to the Heat, and when LeBron recruited him. I think maybe they just don't feel they need what he offered right now on the, with this group that they have. And you know, no, the Winhurst reported that they were interested in Wright, but no real traction there. And I think maybe him and Nance are redundant to some degree. So it's too early to know. If you're looking at some of the names, I think could be interesting. Tyreek Evans maybe gets bought out. I don't know if Memphis is going to actually buy him out, but he's possible. Marco Bellinelli would have been someone I would have been somewhat interested. He's maybe redundant with Korver, but he's going to Philly. You know, Derrick Rose is going to get bought out. That's the Cavs obviously are going to want nothing to do with him after trading him. So maybe you're looking at Brook Lopez could be someone who gets bought out by the Lakers. That's someone that could provide some scoring, provide another healthy body. Maybe Vince Carter gets bought up by the Kings. You could maximize him on the wing. If you're thinking about Tony Allen, you know, maybe the Cavs decide they want a defensive player. Maybe he is someone that they call. But I think we're still a tad bit early to sort of know what's going on with the buyout market. But they're going to have – the Cavs have open roster spots. Now, they traded out six guys. They only brought back four, so they have two open roster spots. We've heard, and I've been told this, that Kendrick Perkins is certainly a consideration for one to be a leader in the locker room, but at least at one other spot, if the right player becomes available, that could be a big deal. And, you know, maybe that guy doesn't ultimately make the difference in them winning the finals or not, or making another deep finals run. Maybe the guy doesn't end up playing. This team already has 11 guys that I think they like, and that's going to be hard enough to parse those minutes once Kevin Love gets back. 10 right now, 11 when Love gets back. But that extra depth is not a bad thing. Guys get injured. Things don't work out. I mean, I think if we're looking at where I would go, I would look up front. Right now, you only have a few playable bigs. You have Tristan and Larry Nance right now. Jeff Green is basically a four on this team now. LeBron's going to be playing a lot of four going forward. And you get Love back, and you're more comfortable. Love probably plays some five. You trim your playoff rotation. But I think that extra body could make some sense. If you're looking like a dream candidate, maybe Dwayne Dedman gets bought out by the Hawks for some reason. Stretchy guy, can defend the rim. That's what you're kind of hoping for. Brook Lopez would be an okay option, I think. But I think if I was the Cavs, I would be looking up front to get some depth behind Thompson, Nance, and Kevin Love. Ante Zizic is someone that I think could be a good NBA player. But he's not someone who I think is likely to be good right now. Stanley Young, I'm going to respond to this real quick. Why are the Cavs experts still not understanding how good Clarkson is for us? Clarkson's been very good for the Cavs. It's been two games. He thoroughly earned the closing out of minutes against the Thunder. Outplayed, I mean, just was so key in those bench lineups to help close that game. Earned a 50-50 minute split with George Hill. I think he's going to be better than he was with the Lakers because he's actually playing with good players and not a good team. And I think he was playing with a lot of not good things in LA. Just not the talent that's going to elevate a guy who is not a star, will likely never be an all-star, but is going to get maximized playing with LeBron. I think his value as a shooter and as an offensive player, if he can shoot a little bit from three, keep hitting around 40% and catch and shoot threes, he's going to be super, super valuable. Me putting him fourth does not mean I don't think he's valuable. So, Jay Callahan asked, chances we get Dedman. I don't know why they'd buy him out. He has an option for next year. I believe it's a player option. I'm going to double check that right now. But he's someone that, I mean, he's playing for them. They haven't shown an indication that they're going to deal him. That hasn't been something, they're going to let him go. But if you're looking, he's got a two-year deal. This is on this deal, and the second part of this deal, I believe, is a player option. So, yeah, so he has a player option, and then he can opt out of the summer, look to get a better contract. Maybe he wants to, right, thank you, Jay, for fact-checking that. So if he wants to go prove himself on a contender, he could ask for that buyout. Basically, if you're Deadman and you think Atlanta and playing on this bad team with not great players and a team that's tanking and should be tanking, you ask for a buyout if you think going and playing for a team like Cleveland, for a team like maybe the Warriors come calling, the Rockets don't really need him now, but maybe San Antonio is a team he played for last year and was very good. The Cavs would make some sense for him if he decided he wanted out, but that I don't know why Atlanta would be in a rush to buy him out, and I'm not sure, you know, why other teams necessarily or why he would. I think if he wanted to play in a better team, that's sort of why he would ask for a buyout. Not a topical question here from Andrew Bailey, as he says, for now at least, but any star player for Kevin Love in the Brooklyn pick. You know, I think in a dream world, that's the foundation of a Cavs deal in June. It's way too early to know what that pick's going to be. The value of that pick, it's a good draft. Someone like Michael Porter, who some people think is the best player in the draft, is the most talented guy in the draft, could be available later in the lottery because of that back injury. You know, but if you get one, and that puts you in conversation for Ayton from Arizona and Marvin Bagley and Luka Doncic, those top three-ish prospects, and even maybe a team loves Mo Bamba from Texas later in the lottery, or Bridges from MSU, or Trae Young. Maybe someone loves Trae Young. I think Love in the Brooklyn pick, if the right team bites on that, that could get you something. The salary certainly helps. I think Tristan maybe would be the money you'd probably offer first, because Love and a star player work. But let's use Anthony Davis as a hypothetical here. Let's say the Pelicans just need to trade him this summer. He asked for out. The Cavs are hoping that Nets pick for him and Love or Thompson, and then like Jetty, and maybe another future pick, just whatever you do to get Anthony Davis, because he's just incredible. You're hoping that's enough to sell them, and better than what Boston's going to offer with their filler and their multiple future picks. You're hoping that Brooklyn picks high enough to flip it for something, and this could be the Andrew Wiggins situation 2.0. Go back to when LeBron came back. They used that number one pick that got in the lottery and used that to get Kevin Love. Winning the lottery got you Andrew Wiggins, got you the piece you needed for Kevin Love. You know, Bennett was in that deal. Other pieces were in that deal. Andrew Wiggins, who has been up and down as an NBA player, would be that's what you're hoping for. That a team wants that guy, because you have to draft him, trade his rights. It gets more complicated. You wait on it. That's why the Love thing took until August. That's what you're hoping for. That type of player becomes available. It's too early to know who that might be. You know, maybe Paul George wants to do what he did, like Chris Paul did, opt in, get traded. The Thunder would certainly want that Nets pick. That's what you're hoping for with that Nets pick, I think. Otherwise, or if LeBron leaves you, you get a top whatever pick, you take that guy, you build moving forward. You know, with the guys you have, you can probably retain Nance and Hood and these guys on pretty affordable contracts. Maybe you flip George Hill, you go on a rebuild with the young guys, with Clarkson and Nance, and Rodney Hood, and you have Jetty and Ivante Zizic, and you go with your top pick and whoever you get with other picks, maybe you get some picks in return, but that's probably what you do. Andrew, and I think Boston, depending on what a hypothetical team wants, they'll have the Lakers pick and the Memphis pick that might be really, really good. So if a team values that over like Kevin Love and then its pick, or Tristan Thompson or something like that, then they probably could. It depends on that. If the Nets pick is one, and that's Luka Doncic, that's, or whoever that team loves, maybe that's better than like a lottery pick, and maybe the Lakers pick gets screwed, right? And that becomes not as much. James E. Powell asked us, and I believe he asked us on Twitter as well, but how will the new Cavs affect Kevin Love's role in the offense? I think he immediately comes in and is the number two. I think Kevin Love is the second best player in this team. I think he is going to have to get used to maybe playing some five a little bit again. It's something I alluded to earlier. I think he's someone who will fill some needs on these bench units. I think that the lineups you saw Jeff Green playing the four would be great for Kevin Love. I think those all bench mobs have been good so far. I'm skeptical that is something that is going to keep up. The Thunder bench is bad. The Celtics bench just that game was weird. We don't know yet if these bench lineups in this post-Wade world, that when they were effective with Wade, are going to be the same type of effectiveness now. That'll be big for the Cavs. Kevin Love could be a big part in solving it. I think he fits fine. I think him and Nance is going to be a really good front court. I like his fit with a lot of these guys. I think Hood coming, like, maybe this unlocks Kevin Love as a passer. I've been wanting that since he got to Cleveland. But, you know, we'll see. When he comes back is so important. He's apparently getting his cast off in I think 2 weeks from Dave McMenamin. You should fact check me on that, but the sooner he can get back, the sooner he can be Kevin Love again on the court, the better it is for the Cavs. They're going to have to incorporate him right before the playoffs. Maybe they get an easy first-round series. Maybe they have the time to ease into that. But if you're looking at the standings right now, you know, with the way things have worked, the way things are working, if the season ended today, we're looking at the Cavs as the 3 seed in the East, and that gets them a first-round series against the Pacers. Okay, so maybe the Pacers slide. Maybe you get the Bucks. Maybe you get the 76ers. You're getting someone in that range. Maybe the Wizards fall. That's a very beatable, winnable series. Bucks are in those teams. The Pacers are whatever. Second round, that would be a second-round matchup against the Celtics. As much as the Cavs just shellacked Boston, that's a good team. I think that would be tough to get Kevin Love in if he just comes like right in the playoff start. You want him back a couple weeks before, I think. And I think the timing of when he comes back is just, I think, a bigger question for me right now, and at least in my opinion, than what he's going to fit. I think he's going to fit really well with this roster. I think he's going to fit well with Hood, well with Clarkson, well with Larry Nance in particular, and well with George Hill. He honestly might be in line for a bigger role when he comes back. We just don't know yet. Jay Callahan has another question. What prospect is the best fit for the current roster? I'm not a big college basketball guy. The guys that intrigue me the most would be Mo Bamba. Just the shot blocking could be really useful on this team. Doncic would be incredible. Don't know how good he'd be in this team necessarily with the ball handling. So I would go, Michael Porter would be interesting, just to have that type of guy that's so smooth next to LeBron. Bamba, Colin Sexton, I think would be some of the guys, but I think they'd be happy. Ayton as well. Trae Young could be interesting, but I think Bamba, even though he's a little bit lower in the lottery, and Michael Porter would be the guys that stick out for me as someone who, you know, doesn't necessarily watch a ton of college basketball and does the typical NBA thing and kind of binge catch up later on. So we'll wrap it up here on another bio question. Mike Brooks, just want to shout him out for sending a question via email. Do you think any bio candidates could be available? Who could help us? If so, who? To circle back on that for a second, I think one of the thing that could be interesting is Jaren Jackson Andrew is another interesting one for the draft prospects. And I'm very excited to have an excuse to think about the draft again because the draft is so fun. But one of the things that could be interesting in the bio market is, do the Cavs, like, they actually need to add someone that can help them? I think the type of the move that I think they would ideally like to make to get another star is just, you can't do that now that the trade market's gone. You've reset in the best way you probably could, but that's not on the table. I think what you have right now is a situation where maybe if you find the auxiliary piece that could help you, that's why I think Deadman would make a lot of sense, but I think that guy just has to be available, and I don't know if I love any of the options that are out there right now. I don't know if I'd love Tyreek. I don't. Tony Allen is in an offensive non-starter. So I think you just, it has to be someone that I think feel like you can help you and fill something you don't have, and I think shot blocking could be that. Also talk real quick, I don't know if you guys read the Adrian Wojnarowski story from today, that the TikTok story on the Cavs' trade deadline activity. It was a good story, a lot of inside detail, and the one thing I think that was really interesting about this trade was the information about the DeAndre Jordan trade. Per Woj, per his reporting, the reason the Clown King's Jay Callahan, one of the reasons this deal fell apart was because you had the Clippers not wanting to take on Amon Shumpert. So this was the Thunder the Clippers not wanting to take on Amon Shumpert in his contract. So the Cavs were prepared basically to get DeAndre Jordan. They had a deal for him sort of lined up, and in addition to the other deal they had with the Lakers. It was Crowder, Fry, the Cavs own first, Shumpert, and for DeAndre Jordan. I think that's a pretty lowish price for Jordan, and it didn't work out because of what the Clippers didn't want to take on Shumpert. So then they move on, didn't want to take JR or Tristan's deal either. So they do what they do, and so the Cavs move on, and then I think that for the Cavs, that worked out for the better. You got multiple guys. You didn't throw all your things into one pot there. You were able to use that first to facilitate the Lakers deal, use the Shump salary and the deal to get Hood and to get Hill. You use those other things, and that really worked. And then you have which we're talking about in the comments here, the craziness of the Kings. You had Pabianis. This bad NBA center being thrown into the deal at the last minute, and the Jazz freaking out, and the Cavs freaking out, and the Jazz maybe pulling out. Cleveland almost was willing to finance that salary for at least part of that salary. And Albin gets some credit here for kind of making this work. Justin Zanuck was someone who almost was linked to the Cavs job, so maybe there's some there, but the Cavs swapped a second-round pick, or did some swapping there, and the Kings just throwing a wrench into this is just classic Kings, and the NBA trade deadline was incredibly entertaining. But the Cavs almost did something completely different. Andrew Bailey's right that the Kings are the organization only more incompetent than the Browns. I think that's true, but the NBA trade deadline was nuts. The Cavs almost ended up with DeAndre Jordan, and if that would have been their move instead of this, I think you would be looking at this team a little bit more negatively. I don't really know how much DeAndre fixes anything. I don't know if you have the same vibe around this team right now, and I think we need to see how this will sustain post the All-Star break. We'll see how they look when they play the Wizards and the Grizzlies and some of these other teams in the coming weeks, but I don't know if DeAndre Jordan gets you that same type of excitement that you see right now with this Cavs team. But we'll do another one of these again soon, likely after All-Star weekend. You can find me on Twitter at SeedBeamWrites. Jay Collin, can you trust Kobe Altman going forward? I can't get over selling Kyrie for pennies. Yeah, I think that Boston trade looks worse in hindsight because of how bad Isaiah and Crowder sort of worked out. I think you can. I think this was a big win for him. He did everything he could. And as much as I think we know Dan Gilbert's involved, he doesn't know Rodney Hood. He doesn't know the ins and outs of some of these deals. I think he deserves a lot of credit for this trade deadline. And I think they thought they made the best of the worst of a Kyrie situation. Maybe you could argue they should have just brought him to camp, and maybe there was something on LeBron of not really reaching out. But I think they thought they did the best they could, and it didn't work out. And you live with that, happens sometimes. I think a lot of us were good with that deal when it happened, and I think now it certainly looks worse. But it worked out, I guess, because Isaiah is now being ejected for arguing with Rajon Rondo while playing with the Lakers. What a world. You can find me on Twitter at CWMWrites. Find the pod on Twitter at LockedOnCavs. If you click the link in this in the description here, you can go to this breaking T-shirt called Trade 'Em All. Some of the proceeds go back to us if you buy that shirt from the great folks at Breaking Tea. I got mine today. It looks awesome. Soft shirt. You'll love it. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Check out all the content we have here for the sword. And we'll do another one again soon. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. And enjoy the little reprieve that is All-Star Weekend. Talk to you soon.